we think about... All right, sorry. Love technical issues right off the bat. Okay, hang on just a minute. Oh, that's not the way it's supposed to work. But we'll see. Characters. Characters. In any great story, characters play a significant role in what will happen. A significant role in what transpires. Even in TV shows and movies, in novels, characters and their development and what happens with those different characters can add a whole lot to the story. Let's consider some from contemporary television for a few moments. If this all works correctly. If it doesn't, I can just do it by words. I know how to do that. I've done that a whole lot longer. There we go. Castle. If you're not aware, Castle is a TV show that comes on at 9 o'clock on Monday nights. Jamie's very excited because it'll be back on tomorrow night. Never mind, there is a small football game to be played tomorrow night. But it'll be back on tomorrow night. They took the whole month of December off, all of those things. And Castle is two main characters, and you see them in the picture here, Castle and Beckett. Beckett is a homicide detective in New York City Police Department, and he is a writer. And his assignment was, as he was getting kind of bored with what he was doing, was to then, you know, work with the homicide division and maybe help them solve some crimes. Well, nothing like having this guy on here and her, and then they basically spent 4 years building tension between them, positive tension that would grow and develop into a romantic relationship between the two lead characters. Now, quite honestly, had they not done that, I don't know if the series would still be continuing. Even though it's well written, the acting is good, the storylines are good, but they certainly created a different development in this development of the characters in the storyline. She just thought he was an arrogant, well-known author when he started, and he had all kinds of thoughts about her, and over time those change and these characters develop, which add interest and intrigue to the story. How about another one? Okay, that's not the way I designed that one to work, so I don't know what's happening there. Anybody recognize this one? NCIS, Tuesday nights at 7, just so you'll know. One of the great shows on TV. In it, you have the main character, lead role character, Gibbs. NCIS is these Navy detectives that solve military crimes or crimes around military folks. And Gibbs is the lead character and is kind of the always calm, cool, collected fella. He doesn't get ruffled by things, is rather silent at times, but leads his team well. In this picture, you have as well Abby. Abby is a forensics A gal, figures out all kinds of stuff. She's really smart. She does stuff really well, even though she's kind of weird and wacky, and she'll wear some strange outfits to work and variety of things like that. He comes to her because she can usually give him this incredible information and helps him solve crimes and gives insight into what's going on. And even though they are just almost polar opposites, personality-wise, there's this incredible relationship that works between the two of them that helps them do those kinds of things and solve crime. Character development. These characters that are in these stories and in these scenes, how important it is to us. One other show, and it's one of interest and intrigue and gets a lot of notoriety people... Yeah, I know. It's just kind of goofy. It's coming along. This one. You'll recognize some of these guys in this story. Of course, yes, it's Duck Dynasty. There are lots of characters in this show. I want to talk for just a minute about Cy. Not my favorite character on the show, but he adds a lot of intrigue. into shows. And he's kind of crazy. He's a crazy uncle nobody really wants to have. Because you never quite know what he's going to say or what he might do. And because of that, it's kind of funny at times and rather hilarious at times. And quite honestly, even though he's not my favorite character, he helps kind of make the show, and maybe it wouldn't be quite as interesting if he were not in it. So you got to have these different characters in these roles and in the things that happen. Well, today I want us to look at a biblical story, and I want us to examine some of the characters that are in the story today as we think about wise men and scribes from Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2. We'll start reading at verse 1, and let me ask you to stand together for the reading of God's Word. Starting at verse 1 of Matthew 2. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Gathering together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for this is what has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the leaders of Judah, for out of you shall come forth a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod secretly called the Magi and determined from them the exact time the star appeared. And as he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search carefully for the child, and when you have found him, report to me, so that I too may come and worship him.' After hearing the king, they went their way, and the star, which they had seen in the east, went on before them until it came and stood over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy, and coming into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell to the ground and worshipped him. Then, opening their treasures, they presented to him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned by God in a dream not to return to Herod, the Magi left for their own country by another way." This is the word of the Lord, and you may be seated. Thank you. So our story has some characters in our story today. First of all, we mentioned the Magi, the guys that we typically refer to as the three wise men. Anybody know why we call them the three wise men? Three gifts. In reality, we really don't know how many there were. We really do not. If you'll notice in the bulletin today, the picture behind the sermon title and text, Brooke found, and she liked it, and I liked her reasoning for it. Was she said, you know, they talk about these three guys traveling along, and if they are who we think they are, they probably weren't traveling by themselves. There would have been a group of them. But we call them the three wise men because there were three gifts. We really don't know how many there were. We do know that most likely, though, they were astrologers. They studied the stars in the skies and made determinations based on those things. So they represented the pagans. Quite honestly, they represented the pagans, those who had nothing to do with God. And they were Gentiles. They were not Jews. They were Gentiles. You separated the world in that time between Jews and Gentiles. And they were the Gentiles. But interestingly, if you'll notice in the story, it's these pagan Gentiles who announce there's a king of the Jews. Where is the one born to be king of the Jews? Now, these guys do not have the Torah, which were the first five books of the Old Testament. Very big deal to the Jews. They don't have that, but they follow the light. Very important for us. They had seen the star, as these guys who studied the stars and believed the stars would tell them something. They see a new star, which they would have understood in their background. They would have associated a new star with the birth of a new ruler. So that meant a whole lot to them. They see this new star, and they were in the east and saw it, and they followed it to the west. And so we see these magi very important to our story. And their background, their setting, these are not God's fearers, God's followers. But yet they see this star and they follow it. Speaking of the star would actually kind of be a character in the story. A phenomenon of the night sky that got the attention of the magi. There it is, this bright, this obviously an artistic depiction of it. Darker than I wanted it to be. But this phenomenon in the sky, miraculous phenomenon that there, directed by God as it appears in the scenes of this story, is some interesting things. One is, you've got to understand something about the movement of the stars. The movement of the stars. Some stars rise in the east and they set in the west. Others rise really in the southeast and then move across and set in the southwest, and their movement appears a little differently than does those others who just move from east to west. And then there's another group in the northern sky who appear to move in a counterclockwise rotation around what we really describe as the North Pole and give us the centering of the North Pole. So you have this movement that's been depicted and followed. These guys would have known these things. Oh, these stars do this. These stars follow that pattern. These stars follow this pattern. They would have known all of those kinds of things, and many others would have, because, you know, they didn't pull out their iPhone and look up the map and let it tell you where you were in the world and how you were going to get where you were going to go, for the sun would help them by day and the stars, obviously, by night. But this star gets to Jerusalem and it stands still while they're in Jerusalem and they're inquiring about what's going on and they're asking this question about, well, where is the one who's born king of the Jews? They're asking this question about this new ruler. And then it directed them to a precise location, which means it's a very special star, because to do that it would have moved west and then it would have had to move south and west, not a particular movement, not a customary movement of a star. So it really was special and they knew it. So the star takes on a role in the story. The next one is Herod. Herod, this ruler, takes on an interesting story, part of it. And he, it says in the scriptures that he is troubled. He is troubled. Now, he's troubled because he's the king, and these guys show up wanting to know where the king has been born. That's going to bother most kings. Most kings don't want to know, don't want to hear that another king has been born. That's not what most kings are looking for, especially if he's not their successor born in their household. So he's rather troubled. And Matthew describes him as such. Now, he asks some important questions. The Magi ask where, but so did he. He turns to some other characters in the story we'll get to in just a moment, ask where. Where is he? Where is this one? But then he also asks the Magi this question, when? He wanted to know where he would be and when he would come. Now, part of the story that we're not going to look at today is that part of the story that depicts his wrath, the evilness of this man, that out of his egomaniac nature, in his fear that there would be another ruler, he kills every boy around under the age of two. Just because of a little insecurity in his own heart and his own life. Herod plays an interesting role in this story. Then you have chief priests and scribes. Chief priests and scribes. Now, chief priests were part of the priestly ruling class among the Jews, associated with the temple, important big dogs in their day and time. Everybody paid attention to them. What they had to say meant something. And then scribes. Now, sometimes we might think of a scribe as a secretary. More than that, these are guys that really are a professional class of experts in the religious and civil law of their day and time. Because of that, certainly would be ones who would be consulted in matters like this, and certainly around the Jewish tradition of their day and time. So when Herod needed to know something, here they are, these magi arrive, they're asking this question. Herod needs information. He doesn't know it, so he turns to the guys in the story that would know it, the chief priests and the scribes. These are guys that have this information. They because they have the scriptures. If they would have consulted, would have said something to them about it, and they have it. So he asks them, and these guys, they know the answer. It doesn't even appear that they really even had to look. They knew the answer. They give it out, and then Matthew even quotes it, which gives us another character of our story, an important role in the story is the Scripture. The Scriptures. That is there because the Scriptures are consulted, referenced. Matthew quotes the Scripture. Matthew uses the Scripture strategically. He gives it a place of importance by quoting it. He gives it a place of importance by being referred to as the guiding principle of what's happening, is giving the information that is needed that Herod and the others did not know, that the Magi did not know. So he uses Scripture strategically, and he gives it a place of great importance because it provides information. So you see Scripture as a role. Now there's another character in the story that's might be a little hard to identify, but it's the narrator of the story. Because one of the things the narrator does is give us, the readers, information that the people in the story actually would not have known at the time. So it gives you some insights as you read through the story. And that the biblical narrator is very important always in giving information, and he reveals information to you that the people in the story would not know. So we have some interesting characters in this story. Now, I want us to look at the actions of these characters. Now, we're not going to look at the action of the narrator or the scripture are the star, but we are going to look at it as these other folks in the along the way, the actions of some of these characters. We're going to start with the chief priest and the scribes. Now, chief priests and the scribes knew the scriptures. At Bible drill, you wouldn't have wanted them on the other team. You would want them on your team because they're going to know. They know which roll to pick up. They know where to roll it to. They're going to find it. Unlike Bible drill, you pick it up, you start like this. Can't put your finger around because you can figure out where to turn to. You got to have your hand flat on the top. Go, and you open it, and you go from there. These guys, you would have wanted them on your team. They are going to know the scriptures, and they quickly knew the answer to the question of where. But here's what I want you to see about these guys. They did nothing with what they knew. They did nothing with what they knew from the Scriptures. I think if any of those guys would have gone with the Magi, Matthew would have told us. Matthew doesn't tell us that. Nobody else went with them. No response. They didn't even seem moved. They just kind of seemed bothered they even had to answer the question. Chief priests and scribes, they know stuff, but they do nothing with it. You have Herod. An egomaniac, really. He's the top dog around, and he's interested in preserving his place in his position. He's insecure. He's worried. I mean, how many grown men who've got an army at their disposal are worried about a baby? I mean, just think about that. He's worried about a baby. His mom's got to change his diaper, take care of him, feed him, all of those kinds of things. He's got to be under the age of two. Now, by the time that guy's old enough to do anything, Herod could be dead. He's insecure. He's a hypocrite. He's a hypocrite. I mean, he says that he wants to go and worship. He just wants to know where this baby is. Not because he wants to go and worship, he wants to go kill the baby. Oh, he's not going to do it. He's got minions to send to do that himself, and so he'll send them. They're not cute and they're not yellow, but he's got them to send. off. So you have Herod. Then you have the Magi. You have these ones we call the wise men. They're obedient. They're obedient. You know, based out of what they knew and their experience, they see the star, they follow it. Over a long period of time. It actually really bothers me when you see the nativities at Christmas and the wise men are there. Because they weren't there. Now, if you want to put them up after Christmas Day, it's okay. But if you looked at the nativities around the church building this year, you'll notice the wise men were not present. There's a reason for that. These guys come later. It takes them a long time. They stay with this for up to a couple of years before they arrive. And there's a lot to be said for staying the course. Staying with it, being obedient for a long time in the same direction just to keep going. But there's something else about them. An author described it this way. He said, revelation outside of Scripture motivates them to obey the one God. Would have been the star in the sky. That revelation, they followed it because of their background and who they were. That star meant something even though they didn't know the creator of the star, the one who would put it there, the one who would guide them. They didn't know that at that point. So revelation outside Scripture motivates them to obey the one God, yet they do not find their way to Jesus without the Scripture. They have the star they can follow, and they follow the star, but they cannot get to Jesus apart from the Scriptures. Very important. Very important that God can give you a sign. Does He confirm it with Scripture? If what you think is important is contradicted by Scripture, and Scripture will not affirm it, or it contradicts Scripture, you need to back up and reconsider, because Scripture is always going to be truthful. Scripture is always going to be right, and will adjust and correct what we are doing. So what does this mean for you? What does this mean for you on this first Sunday of a new year? Beginning of a new year, you've got great hopes for this year. Maybe you're hopeful some junk from the last year is gone. I love what one of you said this morning. I asked you about family. The response was, everybody's well. That's a good thing to say at the beginning of the year. Everybody's well. 2013 brought something to my family I never dealt with before. It was 2 car wrecks in the same year. That's enough. I don't need any more. The rest of my life, I'm good. Thank you very much. So we're hopeful this year there's no crunching of metal at the Knox house. Things of that nature. Or at your house either, for that matter. What does all of this mean for you? Here we are at the outset of the year. Some of you are still awaiting a return to normalcy, whatever that is or whatever that means at your house, of course. The holidays have been upon you. The routine and the schedule has been different. And certainly all of you moms were hoping you would be there by tomorrow, and then the governor cancels school for you. And so all of your children are rejoicing. How do I know that? The ones at my house are rejoicing that school is canceled for tomorrow. There will be no alarm clock in the morning. And no dad wiggling your toe saying it's time to get up. Right? Yes. So what does this mean for you? One is, you are a character in the grand narrative. You are a character in God's kingdom work and in God's kingdom story. And that's important. And because you are a character in God's kingdom story, you have a role to play in it. You have something for you to do. God has something for you to do. And as we think about some of the characters in the story, it can shed some light on some things. I hope you'll think about this. You can be like the chief priests and the scribes. You can know the Scriptures and do nothing with them. Or you can know the Scriptures and choose to obey them. You can be like Herod and only be concerned for yourself. You can be a hypocrite. You can pretend you want to do one thing. In actuality, you want to do something else. So you can be a Herod. Or you can be like the Magi. Obedience. You can adjust your pattern as the Bible instructs you. These guys have been traveling toward the west for a long time, but when they knew where he would be, they changed directions and headed south. Southwest. And the star shone upon them. But as the Scripture spoke to them, they adjusted their pattern. So you're a character in God's kingdom story. You're not an insignificant character. You are significant. You are a creation of God. God's Son, Jesus Christ, died on a cross to redeem you. Those two things make you significant. You're important. You're a person of worth because you've been created in the image of God, and God sent His Son, Jesus, to die on a cross for you to save you from your sin. Now, if you don't know that Jesus yet, you've never met Jesus as your Savior, we want to introduce Jesus to you and you to Jesus. And that'll change your role in the kingdom story. But if you've already done that, you already know Jesus, you're in God's kingdom story. Now, how are you living out your role in God's kingdom story? The other day on Facebook, somebody posted, "Well, my New Year's resolution was to make the bed every day. 2 days in, and I failed both days." I don't know if you write New Year's resolutions or not, or you think about them, and I've figured out years ago there's no need in trying to start those on the first day of January because the routine had not returned, and there was still too much good food around to eat and too many football games to watch, and you were going to eat food while you were doing that and all of that kind of stuff. So it's only the fifth day of the year. There's plenty of time to develop, seek God, pray, ask God's guidance on what does God want you to do this year. What is your character role in God's kingdom story for 2014? You may not know the answer to that today, and that's okay. I just want to challenge you to leave here today thinking and praying about your role in God's kingdom story. God's created you and made you, gifted you, and equipped you, and made you the unique person that you are. And God has a role for you in His kingdom story. But you have to be willing to say yes to it. You can be like a scribe who knows the answers and does nothing with them. Or you can let your relationship with God and His Word to us through His Scriptures guide all that you do. What will it be for you? Let's bow together in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, this passage of Scripture challenges us. It has challenged me. Father, when I began to think about those scribes who knew the Scriptures, but they didn't let it do anything for them and with them. Father, I've spent my entire adult life being assigned the task of knowing the Scriptures and proclaiming them and sharing them and instructing from them. But yet I have to stop and ask, a question to myself, do I let the Scriptures instruct my life personally? And when it speaks to me, do I change? When it convicts me, do I repent? When it gives me instruction, do I obey it? Oh, Father, that's a good question for all of us. Father, we thank You for inviting us into Your story. And we thank You that even though we may feel small and insignificant, and like maybe we just don't think we can contribute much, I thank You that that's not how You see us. That we are Your creation and You have made us, and You cared so much about us that You gave Your Son Jesus Christ to die on a cross to pay the penalty for our sins, that You can redeem us and we can walk with You in life and fulfill our role in Your story. We ask that You are speaking to us about that this morning, and that Your Spirit is speaking to our spirits, and that we are listening with an attitude that will say yes to You, with an attitude that will say, okay, God, I'll do what You show me to do. I'll do what You ask me to do. I'll change anything that needs to be changed. I'll make every adjustment that needs to be made. And Father, that You would do that with us individually, and Father, that You would do that with us corporately as a church. We thank You for Your Scriptures, and that Your Scriptures, spoken for thousands of years, as You first began to give them to Your people, and they were recorded at those beginning days of the recording of it in the Old Testament, down through these years now. We thank You. Oh Lord, may our hearts be soft and sensitive to what Your Spirit says to us. We would yield ourselves to You. It's in Jesus Christ's name that we pray. Amen. What's the Lord saying to you today? Do you need a